Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to go beyond reading, writing, and spelling. You know, I was literally just having a conversation with my mother, who is finally coming to terms that she has some level of dyslexia, and that just because she reads books doesn't mean you can't be dyslexic, right? There's so much more to it. And so in this episode, I want to talk a little bit about that, what it means, you know, touch on a little bit about self-confidence again. Not that self-confidence is the thing on its own, but it is the outcome of everything not working. And we're going to dive into, you know, the three biggies that people don't realize is down to dyslexia. So let's dive in. Okay, just before we dive in, I just want to do a shout out to the team at RemarkableMinds.org. They're running a new Master Your Dyslexia Live coming up at the end of this month. It is an absolutely amazing course. It is a fully coached version where there will be a call each and every week to go through the program to keep you on task. Let's be honest, with dyslexia, it's very hard to finish a course ever. Great thing about this is you jump on a call, all of the things you've got to do are really simple and short. It's kind of like a TikTok kind of course, it feels like. It's really enjoyable. And by the end, you really see yourself differently. You see why you may struggle with self-confidence and a bunch of other challenges. So go across to Remarkable Minds. I'll put the link in the footer and learn a little bit more about that course. If you can make it, it is absolutely worth your time. Okay, guys, so let's dive into this episode. Now, I'm only going to be covering three of the real core ones. Now, these are ones I've spoken about before on individual episodes. I like to rehash this quite often, mainly because through my personal life experience, I get different stories to tell you, different frames to speak from. And if you're like me, my dyslexic mind hears something, goes, wow, that's awesome, may grab one of the things that are said, and then it runs off in 28 different directions, right? That's how the dyslexic mind works. So by rehashing it in different ways, slowly this will embed to you a lot more, is what the goal is, at least. So we're going to be talking about three things that go beyond reading, writing, and spelling with dyslexia. You know, reading, writing, and spelling are kind of like they're kind of what you see on the surface. What you don't see below it is all this other challenges. Now, some of these also get crossed over a lot with ADHD. And if I'm honest, if you ever get anything mixed up between the two, it's not on you. It's just confusing. It is so, so confusing, you know, to find that kind of gap. And the reason is there are so many people that have a bit of both. You know, you're not alone if you have it, you know, and you can roll in a bit of autism in there as well. Like there's, you know, everything is so closely linked. If I'm honest, I hope someday someone comes out with a study that kind of glues them all together and works out what the connector is, you know, that makes them all come together, because that's what seems to happen more often than not. So the three we're going to talk about today, one is emotional regulation. The second is what we call trigger words. And the third is time prioritization and organization. Those are the three biggies outside reading, writing, and spelling. I'm sure there's a bunch of others. Oh, well, I know there's a bunch of others. But those are the three that came to mind that when I understood them, they did make a massive difference. So the first one, emotional regulation. Now, the way the dyslexic mind works is it's always running all over the place. It's super quick. The big part about the dyslexic mind, it is over six times as fast as a normal mind. You know, when something works in pictures and movies, it just runs off. Like if a picture says 1,000 words, you know, your mind works in movies, so it's saying heaps and heaps of words all the time. We can't even see our mind run off half the time. It just goes shoom, and away. It just goes. And so the challenge with that, and the big challenge with that is that if you can't see what's happening in your visual mind, the emotions that it brings up can really be challenging. You know, you could have a day where you just feel super depressed and you don't know why. You could feel extra anxious and you're like, why am I extra anxious? And you're like looking around for stuff in your life that could have caused this. Stuff that's like real and physical in the conscious world. And you're like, I'm just, you know, my feelings don't match the experience. You know, I'll give you a great example. You know, I'm probably in the best financial position of my life. I'm not a millionaire by no means, well, technically, but does that mean anything anymore, really? Is money worth much? But, you know, I'm in a good place. You know, my debt's paid down. I'm like always super honest on this podcast, maybe too honest. You know, I'm in a good position financially. You know, I don't have to worry is probably the big thing. I've got a bit of a safety net, which all dyslexics love. I don't think anyone dislikes that. So I'm in a good position. But the other day at work, I was like so stressed. I had a client who had a pitch that didn't come through. It just didn't work out. It wasn't my fault. It was an internal challenge they had in the business. You know, they basically said they would have wanted to go with us, but due to this reason, it didn't happen. And so that money that I thought was coming in wasn't. I checked the numbers. They were fine. The world was carrying on like normal. But inside, I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? You know, I felt like this emotion for nearly a week. I'm not going to lie. It was nearly a week of this feeling of like, boom, I got to get something. I got to make this up. And, you know, and I'm sitting there going, wow, what's happening? I'm not even seeing this in my head. I'm not seeing the problem, but my brain is just running off into its own little world. And it's not until I take a day out with nothing on my calendar to just rest, put my feet up in the sun a little bit, I can take a moment. Because my brain's running off so quickly, it's dropping emotions everywhere. And managing that regulation is hard. You know, I kind of understood what was happening. Doesn't take away from the fact that it is happening. You know, it's still a bit of pain, right? And you can work out ways over time to work around it, and being conscious of it's important, but it is, you know, super challenging. So emotional regulation is very much a dyslexic thing. Now, don't get me wrong, everyone has it to a point. Dyslexics just experience it in a slightly different way, and there's a reason, as I've spoken about. There are other podcasts with deeper, where I go into it deeper. There's a great podcast search on truthaboutdyslexia.com if you want to find something. I can never quite get podcast sites to work fantastically for that. The second thing is trigger words, and I use these a lot. And these ones really, it was really interesting when someone explained it to me. The dyslexic mind is visual. When you hit a certain age as a child, 20%, or this is my take on it, 20% of the population goes down a symbolic path. So they find words really easy. They can read, write. Their brain just takes to it. It's like natural to them. For the dyslexics of the world, a small percentage can't read at all at start. It's like really, really bad. Probably, maybe, I actually don't know the number. I'm guessing, but it's a few percent of us that have it really bad. The D's, the B's, everything mixes up. They really see the world in 3D. A lot of us, though, are sitting on the edge where we can get it together. We can learn. There are techniques out there, phonics and mnemonics, I'm probably going to say that wrong, bunch of different stuff, and we can get by. But what happens is because 2D symbolic words are not easy for us, that our brains have to put so much more energy into running this thing. And so it usually drains us of energy because we've had to put so much mental stress into symbolic words that we're reading all day. It's why so many dyslexics become tradies, speakers, comedians, orators. We'd rather be talking than reading, right? That's how we operate. Now, trigger words is a whole thing where if you think about this, you know, if I say table, your brain pictures a table. If I say dolphin, what comes to mind? Okay, dolphin. If I say monkey, what comes, you know, I can go on. But if I say the word authority, what comes to your mind? Is it the definition of this made-up word by someone? What if I said love? What comes to mind? What's the definition of love? And what you find is if you start doing these definitions, you start using the same word in the definition, you know, of love, like start saying, oh, it's when you love somebody. It's like, oh, damn, I can't use that word, right? So, you know, our brains are not good at these trigger words, which are non-physical words. You know, the, and, all these things. Like, when I picture and, I have to picture like a link, like a chain holding two things together. I have to create a visual reference for it so I understand it, right? But you think as a kid, none of this stuff was really taught to us very well. It's getting a little bit better in schools, but it's not great yet. So trigger words, you know, and you can imagine when I talked about this on the relationship podcast a little bit ago, it was, you know, trigger words can be hugely influential in communication. You know, if you are not good at communicating, you know, with your partner, you know, you could be thinking a word actually means something different to your partner. When that happens, do you think you're going to fight about it because you're both talking about same words but something completely different? I'll guarantee you will fight about it. And if you're not aware about it, it's even worse, right? It's really crazy. You know, and again, there's so much more to all this stuff. This is me just touching on it. There are other pods on it. And, you know, we've already talked about Master Your Dyslexia. That course is running and it goes a bit deeper on all this on the context of self-confidence. So the third thing I want to talk about today, guys, is time, prioritization, and organization. You know, and, you know, this is one that does sometimes get included in the ADHD mix. Now, you know, and this is probably the one that does have that horrible word, comorbidities, where things are similar but different. You know, people with ADHD and dyslexia are both not naturally great with time for slightly different reasons. If you've got both, good luck. You know, it's not easy. It is not easy. But prioritization and organization is really a huge challenge of dyslexia, especially prioritization. It's our brains do not work in a lineal fashion. You know, and that's the biggest dyslexic thing. Our brains work in a spatial way. We can see 100 different things happening all at the same time. It leads us to overthinking. You know, we can't see what's next, what's next, what's next. You know, it's like when you think about a scenario, your brain looks at 100 different scenarios going on in your head. Great example. I was talking to my brother and having a chat with him on Messenger. And we only chat every 3-4 months. We're just shocking brothers. And we basically dump life events into a Messenger chat. And being a terrible son sometimes as well, I hadn't spoken to my mother for a month and a half, maybe. We're close, but not that close from a talkie all the time point of view. And so my brother had fed back some information about a family catch-up before our wedding, which is happening a few weeks in the future. And my mum's dyslexic mind, she heard this and she hadn't been told about this catch-up. In her brain and in her mind, instead of just going, okay, I'll talk to Stephen as the next step to sorting this out, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Instead, her brain basically went off on a tangent. She thought about 5-10 things. What have I done that he doesn't want me there? You know, maybe it's already, you know, in her brain, it had already all happened. She was running through, you know, she saw this so clearly and visually that I just hadn't invited her to a family catch-up, when realistically, she's probably the main person who needed to be there for this family catch-up. You know, all of these things, she ran off into a million different ways. Nothing was lineal. It then drove her emotional reaction, her regulation. You know, all this stuff happened. You know, it's tiring, right? It's so tiring. Instead of the lineal way of going, okay, I found out a new piece of information. Next logical step is to call Stephen, have a chat. Next step is to find out the truth. Instead, she's already gone. You can see how this all affects you, right? So that part of it is a dyslexic trait, not an ADHD trait. ADHD is maybe the energy a little bit behind it, but it's not the way your brain works. Your brain is dyslexic if it's thinking in these spatially visual holes that people are getting lost in. You know, it's a lot more in your head when it comes to this side of things. And so those guys are three little pieces of the puzzle. And just before I go, actually, I knew I was going to see, this is my brain not working linearly. I can't even say it. What a terrible word. So there's one other last thing I wanted to mention. You know, when it comes to prioritization, we are the type of people that get things, we succeed with stuff, right? We get things successful. If you look back on your life and go, how much great stuff have you achieved, even though you've got dyslexia? If you really look back to be grateful, you're like, probably more than I ever thought. I winged it all, but I got there. We always think we wing it. And the reason is we can't see a lineal path. So when you can't see a path and steps, you're winging it, right? That's the only way you can do it. You're winging it. It's luck or chance, but it's actually how our brains work. You know, If we plot a course from Los Angeles to New York, LA to New York, driving, for example, we don't go the shortest way usually. Maybe it's helped with Google a little bit. We're more likely to stop in 28 different towns, get lost in Canada, get lost in Mexico, you know, probably put up a tent somewhere. 6 years later, if you're lucky, you arrive in New York, but more than likely, you've probably turned around and gone back to LA. You know, we kind of go round in circles to get to places. We have a great journey along the way. We're always surprised when good things happen to us along the way because we weren't expecting it. This is how our brains work. It's not logical sometimes. It's not lineal. Other times we push ourselves to be more logical, more lineal, because we want it so much. Again, it's a topic for another podcast. But all this stuff, it's all going beyond reading, writing, and spelling. It's, you know, knowing more about how dyslexia works, the awareness can change your life. Keep listening to the pod if you're enjoying it. Follow me on TikTok at Truth About Dyslexia. I'm starting to get into it. Starting to get a couple of followers. I hope people are enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun. It's very creative, isn't it? The old TikTok. Being an old fella at 38, I'm really enjoying that creative outlet. So thank you guys for being listeners. Keep sharing the pod and have an epic rest of your week.